Greetings in the name of Jesus. Welcome to each one present this morning. You can open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. I have a message this morning that I feel very much that I'm preaching to myself as I was trying to put it together last night. I again and again became convicted with the thought that what I had to say was for me, and I was tempted because of that to change gears and preach something different, but I didn't do that this morning, so I'm going to preach to myself, and you can listen to the Word of God and learn from it. My text verse I take from Matthew chapter 5. We'll go to that shortly. My text verse is simply this: Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. My title this morning is the first part of that text, Blessed are the meek. I'd like to read from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 15 as an opening passage. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be thankful. Did you notice in verse 3 and 4, he says in verse 2, we should set our affections on things above. And then he says, why? Because you are dead, and your life is hid. I like that phrase, your life is hid. That fits very much with our message this morning on meekness, a life that is hidden. But that's going to change in verse 4. He says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear. Not going to be hidden anymore when Jesus comes back, but until then, you are hid. Verse 10, he talks about putting on the new man. It certainly gives us a list of things that we should be putting on. That list is in verse 12, and one of those is that we should be putting on meekness. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meekness is a difficult subject For one reason it is difficult is because we have so many misunderstandings of what meekness is. And one reason we have so many misunderstandings is because the Greek word praptes is the word for meekness. And historians and Bible translators would tell us that this was a very difficult passage when they came to this word praptes. And they tried to find an English word that fit it well. And they ended with meekness. But their conclusions would be that praptes is not readily expressed at all in the English language. And so in the outstart, I'm going to try to define meekness. And in doing that, I'm going to start with a number of things that meekness is not. Number one, meekness is not a natural quality. Number two, meekness is not a natural disposition. Sometimes we look around and we say, well, that brother over there or that sister, they just naturally are meek. No. That's not meekness. What you're referring to there is not meekness. It is not, meekness in the scriptures is not something that God gives to certain personalities at birth. It's not that. Mildness is. God gives some people mildness. They're just always agreeable. They're easy to get along with, and by nature that way, they're that way from a child, but that's not meekness, that's mildness. Meekness is not an easygoing person. Meekness is not simply being nice to other people. Meekness is not weakness in personality or character. If it was, Jesus would have said, blessed are the weak. Weakness and meekness are not synonyms. Weakness is not compromise or peace at any cost. Meekness is not the person who says, well, let's agree. Let's just agree. Let's smooth over all these little things that divide us, and let's all be nice and joyful and happy. That's not meekness. I'm not saying that that's not right to do. A lot of those things that I just mentioned are right to do at times, at least. But they're not meekness. Meekness is not just outward actions. Meekness is not timid. Meekness is not one who trusts in his own organization. And meekness is not they who trust in their own powers and abilities or their own institutions. Sometimes when we think of the opposite, that helps us to define something. And I have to go there because I do not think there are any, you correct me if I'm wrong, if you find later you let me know, but I don't think there's an English word that is a synonym to meekness. I don't think there is one. Meekness is the opposite of pride. Meekness is the opposite of self-assertiveness. Meekness is the opposite of self-interest, and meekness is the opposite of retaliation. So what is meekness? Prates. Gentleness is probably the closest synonym that you can find to meekness. But gentleness describes actions. Meekness produces actions. Mildness is another one that's close to meekness, but mildness suggests weakness, and that's the opposite of meekness. Prates does not suggest weakness. In Galatians chapter 5, we have the list of the fruit of the Spirit. And in that list is meekness. Meekness is the fruit of power, the fruit of the power of God. Meekness is not something that you do or I do. It is a character produced by the Holy Ghost. Meekness is the equanimity of spirit that is not easily elated or depressed. And I had that big word equanimity in it. That's a definition that I found. It's not original with me, but that word equanimity means evenness of mind. So meekness is the equanimity of spirit that is not easily elated or depressed. And it is not that simply because it is not occupied with self at all. Meekness is not occupied with me. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 5, our text. We do want to understand what Jesus is saying. And I think if we read a few verses before, starting at verse 3, the first three of the Beatitudes I would like to look at just a little bit this morning. And I think they go together, and I believe that they are in the order they are in for a reason. Jesus opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." First of all, we see that poor in spirit. To be poor in spirit, I believe, as Jesus taught here, is to recognize our weakness and our inability to feel spiritually or to feel spiritually helpless. To be like the Apostle Paul when he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" That was the Apostle Paul speaking. And that's poor in spirit. He's recognizing that he's a wretched man. And he's spiritually helpless. And I think that is the first step to understanding meekness. If you have never come to the point in life where you felt spiritually helpless and where you recognize that you are a wretched man, then you cannot be meek. First, you must recognize the wretched man that I am. Verse 4, "Blessed are they that mourn." And this verse may have other implications, but one of the implications, I believe, is very directly related to verse 3. We find ourselves mourning because we are wretched. We mourn for our sin that we see in our lives. So we must be poor in spirit, and we must be mourning for our sins before we get to verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meekness is an inwrought grace of the soul. And the exercises of it are first and chiefly towards God. I'll repeat that. Another definition of meekness as it is used in Scripture. Meekness is an inwrought grace of the soul. And the exercises of it are first and chiefly towards God. Think about that. Can you be meek towards men if you are not meek before God? Some examples in the Bible that we can think of. But keep that definition in your mind as we look at these examples. I'm not going to turn to them. They're all familiar characters in the Bible. You may think of others that were meek. But Abraham, go back to the story of Abraham. Go back to the time when he and Lot stood there and they decided they must divide their ways. And Abraham, the older man, said, Lot, you choose. Where do you want to go? Wherever you choose, I'll take the other part. That was meekness. And I do not believe that Abraham could have done that if he was not exercising meekness toward God first. And if you go back and look at his life before that, you see him a man of God, worshiping God, great reverence for God. That was meekness. Moses, in the Bible itself, says that Moses was the meekest man. Think of Moses. Think of his lowly conception of himself when God tried to call him. Think of him pleading with God that he would not destroy his people and make of Moses a nation. You remember the people had sinned. And God was speaking to Moses and he said, I'm just going to kill them all. And I'll make of you a great nation. And Moses said, no, please don't, God. That was meekness. Think of David, especially in his relationships to Saul. Even after he was anointed king of Israel, Saul was still king. Even after Saul had proved himself a wicked man at heart, David respected him as God's king. David respected his life. That was meekness. Could David have done that if he had not, first of all, had that inwrought grace of the soul? And if he had not practiced it, first of all, in relation to himself and to God? Think of the prophet Jeremiah. He was commanded to speak to God's people a very unpopular message. There was lots of prophets in his day saying the opposite of what he was saying. He was alone. He was isolated. He was spoken evil of. But he kept on preaching what God said he was to preach. That was meekness. And think of the greatest example of all in Scripture, and that is Jesus, who suffered persecution, scorn, sarcasm, derision, intense suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane. Think of that scene. Think of the scene of him on the cross. Paul says he humbled himself, became as a servant, and even went to the death on the cross. And that was meekness. And it was not weakness. Jesus had all the power in the world, all the resources he could possibly want, more than any of us have. But he was not weak. He was meek. Meekness, I believe, is essentially, this is more practical in everyday life perhaps, meekness is essentially a true view of myself. Or, with you, a true view of yourself, expressing itself in attitude and conduct with respect to others. What is a true view of oneself? A true view of oneself. I believe it begins with a correct view of God. It begins with the belief that God is all-powerful, that God always was, He's an eternal being, that God created me personally, and that I am accountable to this great God as I walk this life, and that God sent His Son to die on the cross and save me from my sin. I could not save myself. I'm a wretched man without that. And once I have that picture of myself being a wretched man without God, and of God taking the place and filling me, with hope, then I start to get a proper view of myself. And I realize how small and insignificant I am before God. And how all in the sight of everyone that's around me, how small I am. A true view of oneself. And when that is your true view of yourself, your conduct with others will change. Your respect for others will change. I have 5 points. No, I jumped ahead of myself just a little bit. To divide that definition that I just gave you, you could divide the definition of meekness into 2 parts. First of all, in simple language, it is my attitude toward myself. Meekness is my attitude toward myself. Number 2, meekness is an expression that in my an expression of that attitude that we talked about in number 1, an expression of that attitude in my relationship to others. That is meekness. Brings me to 5 points that I believe define in everyday language what a truly meek person is. And I gave you a whole list in the outstart of things that meekness is not. And these are mostly positive. Now the first one is not. I don't know how to put it the other way. Maybe you can help me with that. But most of these are on the positive side and do not have the word not in them. But the first one is this. If you want to know a definition of a truly meek person, if you want to know if you are meek or not, number 1, a truly meek person is not sensitive about himself. He is not sensitive about himself. He is not living his life wrapped around himself. He is not questioning whether God has treated him fairly. He's looking at Almighty God, and he knows that God treated him fairly in spite of the adverse situations of life. He has faith that God is just, and he is not sensitive about himself. Number two, a truly meek person has totally discarded the acts of retaliation. And I could turn to a number of passages for that. I'm not going to do that for lack of time. But a truly meek person has totally discarded the acts of retaliation. As soon as you retaliate against someone for what they did to you, you are no longer a meek person. The meekness of Jesus is no longer doing its work in your life that it was to do. Because in order to retaliate is really wrapped into this first one that I gave you. In order to retaliate, we really have to be sensitive about myself and my rights. Otherwise, I won't see any need to retaliate. Number three, a truly meek person can calmly suffer for doing what was right. And Jeremiah was the example of that. You can go read the account of Jeremiah in his Old Testament book. We don't have time to do that. But he suffered. And he didn't suffer because he did anything wrong. He suffered because he did the right thing. And if you are a meek person, you can calmly do that. Number four, a truly meek person has a truly teachable spirit. And that goes from the youngest Christian in our circles to the oldest. I realize that older folks are supposed to have more wisdom. But there's many Bible passages that would indicate that they have lost their wisdom when they are no longer teachable. And so am I teachable? Can I be taught by others, other godly men? Can other godly men change my mind about what I am sure is right? Will I allow other godly men to do that? Do I have a teachable spirit? Can the Word of God teach me and show me where I've been wrong? Number five, turn to Romans 12 for this one. We'll just look at a couple of verses here. They're familiar, but I'd like to turn to them. Romans 12. And I'm simply going to word it this way. There's probably a better way to word it. But this is point number five. A truly meek person is very willing to accept. And then in quotes, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Let's read Romans 12, verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Are you all right this morning with vengeance is mine, I will repay? Are you all right with leaving that all with God? When you've been mistreated? Or do you feel like you must bring justice? Am I okay with letting it for God? Vengeance is mine, I will repay. In summing these 5 points up, a truly meek person, if I am a truly meek person, I must leave, I'll say it this way, we must leave ourselves and our cause and our rights and everything with God. We must leave ourselves and our cause and our rights and everything with God. That's a pretty big order. In fact, it's too big for you to fill. Meekness is impossible to the natural man. It's impossible. The poor folks in history who went off and made themselves monks, they were trying to make themselves meek. And they lived their lives as monks. But they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. And you and I can't do it. We cannot make ourselves meek. It is a character that is produced in us by the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now, perhaps after I've said that, you might raise this question. Are there degrees of meekness? Can I get better at it? I think you can. And again, there's scriptures that would indicate that you can. I'm not going to turn to them. But one of the ways, one of the most important ways, and one of the ways that I've missed so often in my own life, I think, in trying to be meek, you know, we see the definitions, we know what we should do to be meek. But in order to really make it grow in our hearts, what do we have to do? How do we grow in meekness? Well, we ask God to give us more, because He is the giver of meekness. May God help us to live lives of meekness. Go back and study the story of Jesus, His whole life, His whole ministry here, His whole death and suffering, and try to copy that in meekness. And God will bless you. God will give you a meek heart that can relate well to those around you. Shall we kneel for prayer?